I have to say it feels slightly surreal to be back here. I think it was last February was the last time I preached from here, which is great. And it has been an absolute privilege to be worshipping in person. I'm out of my PJs. I've had to think about what I'm wearing today. It's all of these kind of really first world problems, isn't it? But it's just great to be back in here. And one good thing as well, Pete hasn't had to kind of remove me from the building for breaking any rules or all of that good stuff. So it's really good. So I hope you're all in enjoying the Book of Acts as much as I am. I really love it. And I really love it because stuff happens. There's always something happening. There's always an adventure. There's always somebody traveling to somewhere else. There's always something new. But I think one of my most favourite bits in Acts is how we see the community of believers kind of just outworking their life together, and in particular life around the table. And I just think actually, and I think we encouraged you in the email, is that actually do some of that stuff now as we're transitioning to meeting back in bigger groups. Do some stuff around the table. It's just such good fun, and I love it. And stuff happens around the table. I know from the friendship groups that I meet in, we have fantastic times when we are just together, sharing food, sharing life, doing stupid stuff, buying random stuff on Amazon because somebody's dared somebody to do something. It just all happens there. And I would just really encourage you to get with your mates, get around the table, get around a fire, whatever it might look like at the moment. It's just good fun. So anyway, moving on from that, we're going to be looking at Acts 3 today, as Rich already said. And the title or the word that I was given to frame my preach around today was stopping. And usually when we're thinking about this particular piece of scripture, we tend to focus on Peter and John, that they stopped and they noticed. They were aware of what was going on. They were where God wanted them to be. They were using what they had in their hands to bring life and healing. But I'm not going to do that today. What I want to focus on is what might be stopping us from stepping into the new chapter of our story. And the way we're going to do that today is by not looking at Peter and John and their part in this encounter, but by looking at the crippled man and just having some thinking around where we might find ourselves at this moment in time, and just to think about the things that might be stopping us from moving forward into the new chapter that I know that God's just got there for us, and it's just now the time to start writing some of that stuff. So we'll just read together Acts 3 verses 1-8, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. So one afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man who was crippled from birth, being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going to worship. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. And then Peter said, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned, and then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed in front of the Beautiful Gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed over what had happened to him. So in thinking about what keeps us from moving forward, and just thinking about the crippled man not being able to move, not being able to move forward, I want to take a look at three things. So we're going to look at fear holding us back, being comfortable, and wanting to see the miracle in our own terms. So let's look at those things. So firstly, fear. fear really can drive us to underestimate ourselves and can rule our lives. And I think in particular, the fear of the unknown. And we've all been subject to that in one way or another over the past year, not knowing what's going to happen next, not knowing when we are going to be able to see our loved ones again, not knowing when this thing is going to be done and dusted. And when I was like thinking about the crippled man and just sort of using my imagination in just his situation, I wonder what the fear of the unknown looked like for him. And in particular, what his life would be like if he wasn't crippled. He'd have to get a job to get income to survive. What would that look like? Because he hadn't worked in the normal sense for his whole life. He had been reliant on others for his support. But where would that support come from? All very real fears, I would imagine, that would stop him from reaching out to God for his healing. I think the other thing as well that can really hold us back from moving forwards in the things of God is fear of what people will think about us if all of a sudden we implement a big change in our lives. There can be that sense of, who do you think you are doing that, stepping into that new thing, preaching on a Sunday morning, leading a group, leading a new work, whatever it may be, there can be those voices in your life that say, who do you think you are that you should be doing this? I would just suggest that you don't let those voices be prominent in your world and get alongside people that are going to speak life and truth, that aren't going to pander to you, will provide healthy challenge, but they will support and cheer you on. I think as well, again, from my experience just in the workplace, particularly in the workplace where there's been negative stuff, is those disapproving voices get louder when something new is about to emerge. And that can hold us back even further than we need to when we're moving forward. But what we have to remember, this stuff's not new. Even Jesus received disapproving comments when he started to outwork his calling. We read in John 1 and verse 43 to 46, this is from the Message. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. When he got there, he ran across Philip and said, come, follow me, which is probably, a bit bold, really. Philip's hometown was Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter. And then Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the one preached by the prophets. It's Jesus, Joseph's son, the one from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, you've got to be kidding. In the Passion Translation, it's a bit stronger than that. And it says, Nathanael sneered, Nazareth, what good thing could ever come out of Nazareth? You know, we need to really be like that woman in Proverbs 31 when we're thinking about the future and what might be coming up ahead and the new things that we're going to embark on. And this, again, is one of my favourite verses. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. We need to be people that are able to somehow laugh without fear about the things that are to come and be just joyful in those moments. What is the worst that can happen with most of the things that we are given to try out? Most of the time, I'm not sure anybody's going to die on the back of stuff that we might want to do. And Winston Churchill famously said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So I would just challenge you today, where do you need to choose to swap fear for faith to enable you to move forward? And number two, and this is just, it's a biggie, and we talk about this often, is we like comfort. We like being in our comfortable comfort zone. I think we all probably do. If we don't, there's probably something quite wrong with us. We want to know what is going on. We want to be in familiar surroundings. We want to know what's happening next. We don't want to rock the boat. We just want to be comfortable. But when we think back to the beggar, yes, he was crippled. It doesn't say anything about his condition or whether he was in pain or any of that stuff. But we know from reading, he had been in that place since birth and had known no other way of living life. He probably had come to accept his lot and just got on with it, content with people taking him to his place of work at the Beautiful Gate. He had structure in his world. He knew what each day had for him. But he wasn't really thriving or living his best life. He was just existing. And that's what it can be like, actually, sometimes when we just find ourselves in our comfort zone. And I think the coronavirus season has done a lot to sort us out in terms of that. You know, we were well and truly shaken up last year and have been stretched and challenged in so many ways as we've navigated what has become our new normal, but we've adapted. And as Nathan shared earlier, most of us have pretty much come out of this unscathed. And actually, for me, there have been bits of this last year that I have thoroughly enjoyed and bits that I am going to take with me into the next season because they have been good for us. However, what we really need to be careful of, and I suppose today is just this first step in that journey, is we need to be careful that the lockdown position of the past year isn't a new comfort zone for us that we don't want to move out of. How easy is it just to click on a button to access church without the effort of having to get ready, to get out the house, to serve on a team, to fully contribute as we would want? I mean, I know this morning I was in that kind of first day of school moment last night where I was like a bit like, oh, can't get to sleep. Got to make sure I get up on time because I've got into probably some really bad sleeping habits over the last year. So getting up at 7:45 or something this morning was a bit of a challenge. But that's because we've got into a new way of living and we've adapted. And I think, yeah, as we've said, while church via Zoom has sustained us, it's not our forever position. For many of us, we're going to need to get our way back to meeting in person. And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I've been reading this book about analog church, which is really interesting because I love all things digital. I love tech and I love like seeing how this stuff comes together. But we need to be together as a people, connected in a quite an analog way. But to get out of your comfort zone, it does require effort. And our small group has started meeting in person. The girls and boys are meeting separately at the moment. But the first week we did it, again, and this just highlights this whole kind of getting comfortable in what you're doing, it was slightly chaotic because people had to get ready to be somewhere on time. They had to make dinner and work out the logistics of getting there rather than just kind of turfing up, pressing a button. And it was just quite a nice little experiment to see how that all worked in practice. But we're getting there with it. And most people are getting where they need to get to at the right place and at the right time and in the right group. So I just would, again, challenge you with a question. What are you doing to transition from the lockdown season into the new season? One of my very favourite female authors and theological thinkers who sadly passed away a couple of years ago, Rachel Held Evans, she said, imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. Stepping into the new things of God, as I've said before many times, it does require effort, it requires commitment, it requires sacrifice. It is, by its very nature, uncomfortable. It will require us to make decisions and choices about what next. But what I do know is God says this in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Go and stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road. Then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. We need to look back to the ancient stuff that we find in the truth of the word of God to direct us. And whilst it might be uncomfortable, if we stick true to him and his word, it will be very fruitful. And then number three, I think this is again another biggie that keeps us from moving to perhaps where God wants us to be. We either want the gift, the blessing, the miracle to come packaged how we want it and when we want it. You know, the beggar was at the gate for one thing and one thing only. He wanted money. That was the gift he was expecting, and he engaged with Peter and John on that basis. It says he readily gave them his attention because he thought that they were going to give him money. He wasn't asking or looking to be healed, and Peter didn't ask him what he wanted, as I'm guessing it was kind of obvious. The beggar wanted provision to come in the way he wanted it and how he'd always received it, in the form of silver and gold. And I just wonder, how many times do we determine in our minds how that blessing should come? The timing for when we are ready to do something, or when our healing should come, how we want a prodigal to return, what the restoration of a broken relationship looks and feels like. We can work all these things out in our mind, but God wants to do it very differently. And thinking in this very narrow and us-centered way doesn't give the Holy Spirit freedom to move how he chooses. We need to give God permission to do it his way. We need to be open to God moving in unexpected and new ways and receive according to his will, and not only where it fits with our worlds, We need to remember what it says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. And this is the Message version. It says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. I think it's interesting when we read in the story of the beggar, when he got his healing, he kind of just sort of stood there for a moment. And I just wonder what he was doing in that moment. And I think this is where he was kind of internally processing what had just happened and how his life was about to change. And I really do think, and from, yeah, just reading into this story, that because the beggar received the miracle in a new and fresh way, others were impacted in a new way too. We see, don't we, it says, I think it says that the crowds were astonished at what they saw because they'd seen something new and different. So just sort of coming and bringing all of these things together, I really do think we are moving into the next chapter of our story, a chapter of living in a post-pandemic world. And we have some choices about how that next chapter is going to be written. We have said so many times, we can't just go back to business as usual, because what was fit for purpose then is not what is needed now. We need to be thinking about the boxes of our lives and which ones no longer fit and which ones we need to break out of. And there are a number of ways that we can do this. And there are a number of ways that I think can help us in that, just that thinking process of what the new is. Firstly, don't underestimate or limit your ability in the things you know God has given you to do. Say yes to new things. Take courage, follow his voice, but also while you're saying yes, encourage others to say yes too. Obviously, don't say yes to too much because that creates different problems, but do say yes to the things you know God is calling you to. And remember, stepping up and stepping out, it's not about you. It's about others and serving them better. And lastly, keep an eternal perspective. Remember the parable of the talents and don't bury yours so it's hidden. So again, a couple of questions to help you in the coming weeks or to ponder. What is the new for you? What are you taking with you from before and during this pandemic time? And what are you definitely going to leave firmly behind? Where do you need to get out of your comfort zone? And what steps are you taking to get you out of that comfort zone? What fears do you need to say goodbye to? And then lastly, how committed are you to the new, to go on that new journey? It really is time to let go of any fear, let go of any comfort and convention, and step into the new and spacious places that await. I think it was in church the other week, from Psalm 98 in the Passion Translation. And verse 1 says, go ahead, sing your brand new song to the Lord. And verse 4 says, break out of the box and let loose. And that's what the beggar did. He jumped up and down, praising the Lord with a new song for the new chapter in his story that was about to be written. And what we see in the next chapter of Acts, and it kind of just made me smile a bit, actually, we see the beggar kind of in his newfound healing, jumping around, but he was clinging to Peter and John. I wonder whether he was becoming a bit of a pain in the neck to him as he was, you know, clinging on to them, probably hanging off their every word. But what a transformation as he let go of fear, got out of his comfort zone and received the gift that God really wanted him to have. Amen.